It's time for honest reflection in youth ministry. The present culture is more established than ever. It's so crushing for many a youth pastor. There's a lot to be learned about youth ministry, and even more to be shared. Here's to hoping that this helps. Whether you are 19 and have just started, or have been serving in ministry for 19 years, we hope that this weekly dose of honesty and humor will help to heal and renew hope for you and yours. Welcome to After 9, the most honest hour in youth ministry.
Hey, welcome to After 9. My name is Chad Higgins.
And I'm Zach Workin.
Zach, how are you, buddy?
You know what? I'm doing all right, man. You know, it's been nice in January, ramping up for some stuff, but not as nice as it's been for you, Mr.
Yeah,
3-day vacation.
No. Oh. 3-day vacation. Oh, yeah, you're going to be that guy, right? Like, after you get back from a camp and they're like, hey, how was your vacation? And you're like, no. You don't understand.
We paid you to do your job. The least you could do is be at the office on Monday.
Oh, stuff.
Breathe it out.
Give me patience for those people and love for you.
Patience and virtue, patience and virtues. Right. So, but anyway, yeah, you had your big weekend event. How was that?
Yeah, our student ministry joins with 5 other student ministries in the city of Bartlesville, and we have a big kind of winter weekend type thing.
United.
We call it United, yeah.
Well, United Vacation.
UV 2016.
That is the worst. The vacation. Or you'll get back from an event like that and somebody will come up to you and be like, did you have a good little time?
Neat weekend is always that aunt in the room or whatever. It's like maybe her kids are grown or she's just like a party to your youth ministry. Like maybe she like brought something to it. Like she like provided the cookies for the event. So she like was invested but not like directly invested with the time. And so she always is like, Was it a neat weekend? And it's like, this weekend was life-changing. Like the most like cynical voice ever, like, kids' lives were changed. Thanks, Buckaroo.
Man, that's inviting.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's not like we hung out at Disney World or something like that.
Right.
No, so we had a great weekend. And so anytime we come back from a weekend like that, right, all these different thoughts are going through our head. Was it a success? Did the students have a good time? Was everyone safe? What do we need to, you know, follow up with and all that kind of stuff? And so, yeah, there's all those kind of different feelings for sure.
Well, what we need to talk about, though, is that invite, though, to, like, do the share service right then, right there on the Sunday morning, right? Like, especially for weekend retreats, like, cause it's like hot and heavy. Like it just happened. Like you've been on this like 72 to 96 hour of like ministry overhaul and they're like, share with the church. You should share what happened this weekend. Just tell us what happened. And so like your announcement or like welcome time or like even worse, have you ever been asked to like do the sermon the Sunday morning?
Okay, yeah. So
Friday night into the Saturday, you're like managing the thing, all the kids, right, coordinating the stuff. And the Sunday morning, like, would you preach the sermon? The pastor would love it if you'd preach the sermon.
The pastor. Yeah, so that was the culture when I first got to Bartlesville at the end of this weekend.
It was expected?
Well, so
it wasn't even an invite. It was just like, and you're going to preach, right?
So the youth pastor before me, they did a weekend kind of like this, but it was just their students. And so just the students at Bartlesville Southern. And then at the end of the weekend, normally the band that was there that weekend would play on Sunday morning. And then he himself would preach on Sunday morning. And so when they first asked me to do that, I was like, oh, no thanks.
The polite decline. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Like I knew what was coming, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I knew that I was not going to be
I've seen the future and I will lack coherence. Have you ever had to talk when you were not feeling coherent?
Okay. So, well, okay, this one wasn't being tired. So I was extremely, extremely sick. This was quite a few years back, and our student ministry was rolling out all of these new kind of discipleship tools to help student, get in Scripture more, a deeper prayer life, Scripture memory, some tithing things and different things.
Tithing with students, all right.
Well, yeah, I think you'd learn it there.
That's
right?
Good, that's good. Did you guys pass the plate? Did you pass the plate?
No, we didn't. We encouraged them on Sunday morning.
You explain what happens when they pass the plate. That's what you did. You were explaining that, like, tithing, when we pass the plate, our offerings, our giving. No? Okay.
We had these little, like, almost
KFC
like
buckets?
Piggy banks.
Piggy banks. Nice. Okay.
That they would collect their own tithe, and then they would bring it. So, okay. Anyways. Okay. I don't know if it was effective. It probably wasn't. But so
give every kid a $3 piggy bank, and they give you back $2.
So each one of us on our team, we're going to share a different one of these tools and a small little sermonette. And I was extremely sick, and so I was doing like prescription meds that the doctor gave me, and then my own little concoction, right?
Dr. Higgins in the medical lab.
That really just involved a lot of NyQuil and orange juice.
That's good. Well, you want to mix your colors, right? So it's like eating. You want to eat your colors. You don't want just like green or orange vegetables. You want to have a little green Mountain Dew, a little orange DayQuil, a little green NyQuil.
What are you talking? Like, I don't need to take care of myself like a kindergartner figuring out what to finger paint with.
It's the food pyramid, but it's the health pyramid, right? Like, you're just drinking your colored liquids to try to get better.
I never understood the food pyramid, and that probably shows. But like, I'm just like, so I need to eat all of that every day?
So I'm supposed to eat food in the shape of triangles?
I remember just looking at those, like, food triangle things. I'm like, where do you get that long bread at? I've never even seen some of those foods.
What's happening?
So anyways, I'm sick, and I get up there, and
you're brewing up your own, like, healing potion. Yeah.
And so mine was, I was going to tell about these scripture memory kind of keychain things that we had that had the scripture memory on them, and they put them on their bags or their keychains and
nice.
and remember
tokens of discipleship.
Yeah, it puts it in front of them. And so I get up there, and in my mind, my basic layout was I was going to tell this story of me and my friend that transitioned into how memorizing something can help us really grow and develop, because it's something that's constantly with us and not just something that, oh, I think I heard something like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it went really well, even though I didn't feel well and I was sick, and I come off stage, I get to the back of the room, and the other guys are going, they're like deer in the headlights, look at me. And I'm like,
because you were so good, right?
Yeah, right.
I nailed it.
I'm like, man, maybe these guys are wanting to memorize more.
That's
right.
That's right. Stupefied them with scripture memory.
And so I was like, hey, how did that go? And they were like, you made absolutely no sense. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they go, Chad, you got up there. They said, you started to tell a story. You got halfway through the story. And then your closing line was, and we got keychains in the back.
It's a perfect, coherent story.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, if you'd like to book me for your camp weekend.
United Weekend 2017.
Please email me.
Chad's got stories in the front and keychains in the back.
It's life-changing.
It'll shake you up in a good way. You know, it's good. But you had the weekend, and I think there is some conversation to be had about, I mean, it is like just this, you know, full, almost marathon of ministry. It's just happening and happening and happening and happening. And there's like emotions are at all-time high. You're a little sleepless. And in the same way that your students might be charged up in a good way, I think, and maybe this is where we can kind of have some conversation, there might even be like a real sensitivity to a lot of, you know, what we've talked about before, after nine questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are in the thick of ministry. I mean, this is like seven midweek services back to back to back to back to back. And all these opportunities to like plan and lead and to console and to counsel and to be there and to pastor. And so surely if it's true when we have an hour or 90 minutes on a midweek gathering, after a weekend like this, we're going to have some really big questions.
Sure.
Am I good enough? What was this for? Right. Was it a success? You know, was it worth my time? Was it worth their time?
Yeah, so I'll start asking you that question then, Zach. So what do you think are the primary, like, feelings or thoughts that are going through our heads when we come off of a weekend like that or a camp or, you know, some big youth activity or event?
I think the first one, and maybe this is a little silly to say, but... Whew, it's done.
I know I had it.
Like, I mean, I think there's just that. I think there's that, like, at least the Sunday morning for me is always really exciting. Of like a winter weekend, the Sunday morning off the weekend is great because it's kind of awesome because all the kids are going to be there. So it's kind of like a built-in crowd. Like, they're all here. It's awesome. But there's also that moment where it's just like, just make it to lunch. Just make it to lunch. Whenever lunch gets here, you're done. Just make it to lunch. And typically, like, you take your leaders to eat, or if you're feeling really just, like, overwhelmed, it's like, peace, everybody. And I just go home and nap on the couch or whatever. And I think just, you know, sometimes there is that just finishing, right? Like just getting through the end of it. But I think the first like legitimate response I would give you is maybe some wisdom to our friends at home is that you haven't seen what has happened from all the angles. Mm. You weren't there for all the moments. And so whatever you're feeling, whether it's really good or whether it's really bad, you didn't see all of it. And so if you are feeling after the emotional tidal wave of the weekend, when it finally catches up to your surfing and just like, you know, launches you into the beach, know that you didn't hear or see everything.
Right.
And typically the things that we hear, and this is, I will never understand this. And it's a great problem. It's a beautiful problem. But why do we never get the really amazing stories, right? Like, it's always the small group leader or, like, the guest leader that came in, like, the college student that was the graduate that came back to help out with the weekend that's like, yeah, she just really opened up this weekend, and she shared her story, and other girls were moved, and it was just powerful, powerful. And you're like, I didn't even know she was here this weekend or whatever. You know, it's one of those, like, you just feel like you didn't get to even, like,
I didn't think she could actually speak.
I hadn't heard her talk in a month. And so you just feel like the connection that, like, some other people get to experience, you didn't get to, which is kind of part of it, I think. I think that's something we can address in the second half is what did you plan and what did you set out to do? But I think that that first kind of, like, emotional, raw response of, like, if you're feeling defeated, know that you didn't hear all the stories.
Right.
If you're running it through the lens of just what was informed to you, you probably got more of the negative than you did the positive. You probably got more of the problems than you did the transformations. And so I think knowing that helps. But I also think that something's really key to kind of processing what happened in a weekend is giving it time, because a lot of the stuff that happened is not the kind of stuff that's going to be immediately seen. Right? Like, it's because they still haven't processed what it is yet. Like, I mean, almost for the whole week after what's happened, students that are engaged in it are engaged in it inside of the context of the weekend. And for most of us, having the weekend is good. The excitement and the intensity of the weekend is good. But our real longing and desire is for benefit or for transformation or for growth that's longer term than the timetable of the event.
Right. No, I think that that's a great insight because we don't get all the pictures. And I know for myself, I'm very task oriented. And so it's very easy for me to come off a weekend like that and to begin to evaluate everything based upon schedule, flow, you know what I mean? Like all of the administrative type details, right? I'm like
getting everybody to where they're supposed to be on time.
Yeah, and also, like, did this run smoothly, right? How was the transition here? How did everything come across? What did it look like? All of those kind of things. And so if I'm just evaluating weekends or camps or things like that off of that scale, then I also don't think that that's the full story. And I think we've got to learn to engage in some of the conversations with the people that are involved. Students, leaders, parents that aren't even there, right? And so
the people the students go home to, right? The ones that didn't participate.
Yeah, and so
I just thought the kids had a nice, neat weekend.
Yeah. And so there's all of those different elements that that I think we have to be able to navigate and to figure out and hear all the stories to really figure out it. Was it a success? Was it a failure?
Well, you were sharing one story before we got started this morning about a really eager middle schooler. And I feel like the folks at home need to hear, like, in the midst of tiredness, like, not to miss what may have seemed like a really small kind of thing, but might have been, in fact, quite large. And I think you need to share it. I really do. Like, we were just kind of having passing conversation about this. But I think wrapped up in this is something that is worth addressing because you almost missed a really positive thing that happened that weekend, right? Like,
yeah,
if you wouldn't have, and I'll let you tell the story, if you wouldn't have, you would have missed it.
Okay, so Sunday afternoon, I'm exhausted. I just got to my house.
Just thinking couch. Couch.
Oh yeah, dude.
Couch.
I'm pretty sure my shirt was already even off. get
the
off.
The event's not over until I'm in my sweatpants. That's when we know it's over.
I'm still in my sweatpants.
It's true. Ladies and gentlemen, I can verify that Chad Higgins is still rocking his post-event sweatpants.
And so I get to my house. I start to kind of settle down. All of a sudden, my phone rings, which it's normally kind of a rule of mine is after an event like that, once I know everything's kind of settled down, my phone
goes off.
All
the kids are home safe, yeah.
And my phone rings, and I'm like, oh. Come on,
please.
And so I look at it. I see it's one of my middle school students. And so
does this student typically call you?
I mean, every once in a while.
Okay.
Great kid.
Okay.
Phenomenal kid. And so I pick it up and I'm like, hey, you know, hey buddy, what's going on? And he's like, oh, hey Chad. And I'm like, hey Colton. And I'm like, what's up, buddy? And he goes, he goes, hey, are you still at the church? And I'm like, no, man, I'm already at the house.
I'm home, buddy.
And he goes, oh, did I leave my Bible there?
And I love how much omniscience you're supposed to have about your own youth room. Like, yes, you did.
I'm like, Colton, I just spent 48 hours. Leading a ton of people. I have no clue where your Bible is.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And,
I just
should have had a leash on it. Yeah.
I go, man, I'm not really sure. He goes, oh, okay. Well, you know, I was just really wanting to read it. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, man.
Dagger to your heart. Yeah.
And so I was like, well, do you have other Bibles? And he goes, oh, yeah, I've got a lot of them. And I'm like, well, how about this? I was like, how about maybe you read one of the other ones? And I said, we'll get it tomorrow. And he goes, oh, yeah, that'll be fine.
what a beautiful story, though, right?
It is,
like,
it
if
is
you
good.
Would have missed that phone call, you would have missed this, like, junior high student's excitement to read his Bible yeah. right after this youth event. Not to go to sleep or to play Xbox, but to read his Bible
yeah.
after the youth event. And I mean, sometimes it is important to take those calls.
Dude, that is good, man. I appreciate you to remind me of that because in the moment, I'm just tired and I'm like, why can't this kid keep up with this stuff?
Stuff, man. Like, pick your shoes up on Wednesday, right? Like, how did you make it home barefoot anyway? It's amazing to me the kind of stuff that junior high students can lose. Like, I'm like, you lost your coat? It's cold out. Weren't you cold when you left? Like, it's one thing to, like, leave it behind, but, like, they'll, like, make it all the way home and be like, is my coat at the church? And it's like, it's 18 degrees out. Weren't you cold all the way home and thought, hey, I could have been warmer if I would have had my coat?
So my children's pastor tells this story of one year that she was at camp with the children. They were cleaning up the final day, and she found an entire zipped bag of boys' underwear. And she said none of it had been touched.
Clearly.
And so she was like, and of course, right? Like, you hold up a zipped bag of boys' underwear at a camp and go, and hey, whose are these? Everybody's like, those are mine.
Yeah, yeah. who's owning up to that, right? Right.
Yeah, so she was like, I mean, some kid went the entire week of camp and never changed his underwear.
I believe it, and I'm still mortified for that kid.
Yeah.
Well, what else? So let me turn the question back onto you.
Yeah.
So what are the other feelings? So we talk about trying to see it through, you know, different lenses that are not our own. We talk about, you know, giving it some time, giving it some space to breathe,
right.
that you're not going to get the fullness of what actually happened within hours of its completion. What are some of the other questions that you may have? Because I think one of the things that's a core principle of what we're about here and what we want our community
right.
of friends and listeners to be about is evaluation. Like, expectation and evaluation might be the things that keep people from or get folks out of ministry when they kind of, you know, get out of sorts. Like,
right.
improper evaluation and either too low or too high expectations seem to be the root problem of a lot of ministerial issues.
Sure.
So give us some of that.
What feelings?
Like the feelings or questions, the questions maybe related to evaluation expectation. You're the guy that just finished the event. What are the questions you're asking yourself post-event?
Yeah. I think the healthy questions that we have to ask ourselves is we have to come back. And it's why I think everything that you do needs to have a clear purpose of why you're doing it. Because if you don't understand why you're doing it, there's no questions to ask at the end of that. Like, how do you evaluate something when you're just like, we're going to do this event and it's going to have all of these elements and it's going to be awesome.
It's either the thing, and then it becomes the thing that's either like either happened or didn't happen.
Right.
Like if you don't know what you were trying to get into at the end of it, you were just trying to get out of it.
Right.
And you're like, it happened. Woo. Yeah.
And honestly, I think we've got into this pattern and rut in many of our more traditional churches that so many of the things that we do are these events or processes that have been handed down from year to year that probably started out very healthy and very good. But at this point, we don't have the vision for it. Our people don't have the vision for it. Yeah. They just know that you're supposed to do it.
Hey, when are you doing that D-Now thing again?
Right.
I guess February?
Right.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
And so when we can't adequately describe like why we're doing it and what the purpose is, then I think when we start to try to evaluate it, I think we become very frustrated. And I think that's where a lot of guys and gals are, is they're frustrated with an event that they don't know even how to not be frustrated with it, right? Yeah. And we're evaluating events on almost whether or not we enjoyed it, if we're going to be really honest.
Yeah. which is why, and this is, all right, can I have a little aside? Yeah. Can I do a little little sidebar? Which is why I think sometimes we're really guilty of picking the band we wanted to hear or picking the speaker that we wanted to hear from. Because,
right.
I mean, in some ways, as much as we're trying to lead an event, organize an event for our students, a lot of times we judge, especially when it's not our event and we're like the co-leader that like didn't pick the band or the speaker, we judge on how we receive it.
Right.
And that can be really a dangerous or a kind of pitfall of like, well, I didn't like that band, so my kids didn't, obviously.
Right.
And I'm like, is that always true?
Are those every one of them bought a CD.
Everybody bought a CD and a t-shirt. They're like, this is so good. And you're like, oh. And like, so I think there is that kind of careful, like, not distance, but the recognition that, again, like, you're not seeing it exactly through what they're seeing it through. And so, yeah, we should be responsible in, like, kind of who we are, like, inviting in to help lead and co-lead and, like, speak to, teach our students. But be careful of, you know, why I got them for me and not for what my students needed. So,
right, because I think it can be very confusing. And two, I think communicating the purpose of the event to – you know, your people as well, right? Because if you're going, okay, I'll just give an example. Let's say the main purpose of some event that you're doing is deeper discipleship and like unity amongst your group.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going, everything that we're doing is based around these two things. That's how we're creating the event. That's what we're really trying to accomplish for this season.
And maybe how we judge whether or not we do it again next year.
Right. And if you come at the end of that event, right, and somebody comes up to you and goes, man, none of the kids really, we had no new kids like give their life to the Lord this weekend.
Where are the decisions, man?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we look at it and we're like, oh, none of that's happening.
Yeah.
But it's like, you didn't create it to do that, right? Like that wasn't the purpose. That's not the things that you talked about, all of those kind of things. And so I think that we've got to be able to evaluate it, to label it, to be able to communicate first to ourselves, but then to all of our people, like this is what we're trying to do with an event like this.
No, that's good. And I think what that actually raises is the other question of, do you have plans and purposes for events, different plans and purposes for different events? Because I think there is a worthwhileness to having milestone or marker kind of moments. I don't think every event needs to be a huge blowout budget buster, do all this, make all this happen. The event you might be planning might be the quite opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It might be that leadership retreat. It might be that prayerful, you know, weekend. that isn't about this or that. And so when only a handful of students sign up, as opposed to, you know, the big camp event where you wanted all of your students to sign up, you can let yourself evaluate differently because you had different plans or desires for it. I think that's the pastoral responsibility, is to not always judge the ends, but maybe the intentions, or at least help kind of foster the intentions of, hey, you know what my students really need? They really need this. Mm-hmm. You know what my students really need to be working towards? They really need to be working towards this. And I think it would be best suited to try to do that over the course of a week or a weekend or a series of Saturday mornings. And I think that that's some of the language that we need to adopt as more considerate and careful ministers to young people, is to not just perpetuate the thing that was either the big thing that we inherited, or to try to make bigger the thing that we started. I think there's a tendency to do that. Like, well, I started this thing a couple years ago and I always do it and I always make sure it's the biggest thing of the year. It's like what you started with. I think there's a chance for us to reflect, maybe even year to year, based on the goals and the hopes that we had for the thing, so that on almost a year-to-year basis, we can look back and say, maybe we don't have to do that anymore. Maybe we can do this thing now.
Right.
Because there is a hunger, I think, in young people's lives to have these markers and milestones of spiritual happenings, right? Like spiritual retreating or camp or weekend whateverness, I think is deeply associated with the ways in which students identify their spiritual transformation. Mm. I mean, I think if you looked at any youth pastor and was like, when did you really feel called to do this thing? They would probably point towards kind of a high watermark weekend or event. I mean, for some, maybe it happened in the quietness of a study on a Tuesday afternoon, sure, in their own home. But for a lot of folks engaged in organized youth ministry, we kind of mark time by these things. And the way that they're marked isn't always necessarily by how much money was spent or how big it was or how cool it even was, but just that it happened. I think naming the happening for what it is or what it could be for the student is really critical. And I think that's the ways in which that we can be really good pastors to young people, is to foresee the needs that they might have. Instead of just putting on a show or having a program, is to begin to calibrate and collaborate and organize the kinds of things that might be really beneficial to feed the hunger and the growth in their lives. And so I think maybe that's where we want to pick it up in the second half, is thinking through the event stuff really well. So on the back end of things, you can maybe even ask more specific questions. So it's not just the big wash of like, how do I feel? Right. Exhausted. What did we learn? Something, you know. Yeah. But to have these very specific kind of almost like survey kind of results of like, did the thing that we try to do get accomplished? Like to almost have like a curriculum and an agenda inside of the thing that you can at the end pull out, draw out from your students over the next, you know, weeks or months, as you kind of move into whatever the next season is. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's walk through that. Let's talk through some great questions that we can ask ourselves to really get a clear picture and a good evaluation of the things that we're doing.
Hey, After Nine listeners, we are so incredibly thankful for all of your support and encouragement in these first 10 episodes. And now, Zach and Chad have a request. It has come to our attention that there are After Nine listeners in almost 100 unique locations worldwide. This is so exciting, and we want to involve you in building up this amazing community of honest youth ministers. We want to challenge you to find one new After Nine listener, another youth minister, and invite them to an honest conversation. Ask them big questions. Spend some time conversing over coffee and chalupas. Snap a pic with them and send it to us, or tag it with hashtag After9 on social media. Thanks for listening and building up this community.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back to hang out with us for a little bit longer.
After9. With Zach Wergen and
Chad Higgins.
Oh, we love you guys so much.
During the break, Zach made me a cup of coffee, and apparently at his house, that is no small task.
We're very considerate of how the quality of the things that we serve to our guests here.
Dude,
at,
I'm
at
thinking
the Working Abbey,
when I'm asking for coffee, I'm expecting
popping
either
a K-cup.
K-cup or somebody's ripping out a Folgers game.
No,
you know?
So in another life, another time in my life, another career, would you? I was a barista for things. And even though I was not good enough to join the guild, I did have friends that were a part of the coffee making community. I still hashtag some Instagram photos with hashtag coffee people. I'm a big fan.
I mean, it was an like 9-step process. You were weighing stuff out.
It's true. It's true. We do, you know,
pouring it over some like thing that may or may not have looked like his son's diaper. I'm not sure.
That was a filter. Which I guess a diaper is kind of that.
Coffee diaper.
That's right. Pour over.
All right. So what are we diving into?
What Chad's trying to say is he's feeling really good about the second half of this episode because he's alert. He's attentive. Yeah, he's in.
Long weekend, I needed this cup of coffee.
Hopefully you're in too. So we've got some stuff for our listeners. We've been talking over the break and kind of putting some notes together. And so we want to give you this. The second half is some practical questions that you should be asking every time that you're thinking through prepping for, having, and then reflecting on any kind of event.
Sure.
Maybe it's a one-day thing. Maybe it's a spiritual retreat weekend. Maybe it's a big kind of citywide discipleship event or an evangelism thing, an outreach event or tool, or even the big summer camp, winter camp, whatever you're doing. These are some questions that we think are worthwhile to be asking.
Absolutely. And upfront, know that the specific questions that we're going to give you are not questions that are like the end all be all of questions, because I think that every event or every thing that you do has its own specific questions that have to be asked.
It merits its own questions, right?
Yeah. So what we're going to be talking about are some of these broad questions that hopefully get us to a place of asking the correct question, because I think that that is one of the most important things in ministry is asking the correct question at the correct time. And so I think we would all benefit greatly in learning how to ask the right questions. And I think that that's something that for myself is something that I want to continue to grow.
This is definitely an area of room for growth, no matter what your involvement or experience in ministry is. Like, I think this is not something that there ever gets to be like a shelf that you like attain to or like a plateau that you hit. I think there's always opportunities for growth in learning to ask better and like more specific and correct questions for what's actually going on.
So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through, we've kind of developed these five basic questions that we can ask. And so we'll talk about each one of these questions, why we think that they're important. And then I'll even kind of throw in on the back end this event that we just kind of came off to give you even more of a real life practical example.
Case study, if you will.
A case study. And I think that in all reality and honesty, and we want to be honest here, you know, Zach and I, we don't do this podcast because we feel like we're better at student ministry, by no means. We just want to have a place where we can have honest conversations. And we're continuing to talk to some of these deeper issues that are happening in student ministry because you guys probably find other places to go, here's how to do it better. What we want to focus on is kind of the heart of the issue, if that makes sense. So the first evaluation question that I think is important for us to ask is, was our main priority our purpose?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a great place to start from. And so as we've kind of designed these questions, we tried to think as wide as possible and then kind of narrow down to a big focus. And so we talked in the first part of this episode about being able to identify the purpose of what you're doing. And I think that that's crucial in being able to evaluate correctly.
Yep. And there is something going on at your event that created the cause for the event. And I think that we have some say in what kind of drives that event. Like the fuel or the driver for the event should be known to you. Some of the fallout, some of the byproduct may be unknown to you, but you should know before that thing even starts what you were trying to do. We love surprises. We love it when the Spirit moves in ways that are surprising to us. Mm-hmm. But a faithful pastoral youth ministry leader person should have some kind of driving force that kind of guides them into the thing and then also kind of pulls them through it. Because when you're about halfway through the thing or in the middle of the thing, you're going to be asking, what are we even doing here?
Right.
And that's why we've got to make that purpose the number one priority.
Sure. And I think in that question, the word priority is very crucial.
Yes.
Right? Because we can host large events and things like that, and we will spend so much time and so much effort into some of the details of the thing that the part of the event that makes it really fun for the student.
Yes.
That all of our time and all of our energy ends up in those kind of places. And then it's like, oh yeah, and we're also teaching this weekend, right?
Right, right, right.
And so then we're trying to make all of that kind of stuff happen. Instead of building it around this primary like purpose,
yeah.
And then going, okay, we know we have these fun elements and we want to do them well.
These cool things are cool. The cool things are cool.
Right. But if all of our time is spent on those and the byproduct of it is the purpose of the event,
yeah.
We've missed something.
Yep.
And so I think it starts with our planning, right? Are we spending adequate time on our purpose?
Yeah.
And then building out from there. And I think, to be very honest, we probably delegate sometimes more of the primary purpose to
away.
Other,
yeah,
to spend more time on these like maybe physically demanding things.
Sure, sure.
And I think we've got to get to a place where we're delegating those byproduct things that may be much more fun to work on.
Yeah,
for us to really dive into and spend some time on the purpose of the event.
So let's use your event as an example. We talked about using a case study. So
yeah.
You talked about United. In the name, it would suggest some kind of unity event.
Sure.
So what is the primary for you? What was the primary purpose of the weekend before you got there? What was the primary purpose?
So that's a tough question that, to be very honest with you, Zach, I think we're still working through.
Okay.
For us, this United event is 3 years old. It's a thing that I had started 3 years ago. And to be very honest, and I was sharing with Zach during our break, I think I can look at this event and go, okay, there was definitely a lot of successes in it. And I think on its own, I think our weekend event was very successful this year. I don't know if we truly hit the primary purpose of what we're trying to be about.
Okay.
And here's why I say that. In starting this event 3 years ago, I realized that there was a need in Bartlesville of really an outreach type event. We had multiple different student ministries around town that were engaging in different ways, but nobody was really kind of making that big splash, if that makes sense,
okay.
Into the school system. There's a lot of students in Bartlesville that don't attend anywhere, that
okay.
have no, even a blip on their radar of this relationship with them and the Lord. And to be honest, I think a lot of student ministries, we fight over the same like 20% of the students, and there's 80% of our entire population in our pool that aren't connected anywhere. And so for me, it was this opportunity. We as a collective body of Bible-believing churches can come together, make a much larger splash in the city of Bartlesville to engage more and more students that have never stepped foot in any of our student ministries, any of our churches. And so from the beginning, that was kind of the inception of this event. Now, in our pre-planning, this year was a very different year. We have 6 different churches involved. 3 of those churches this year were without student pastors.
Oh, wow.
And so it put this whole new different dynamic
yeah.
and planning into everything. And so in pre-talk and planning of the event, a lot of the student ministers that were there, and especially this like absence of student ministers,
yeah.
we felt this felt need of our students to connect with their own student ministry and
okay.
kind of build that core. And so when asking, did we hit our purpose? I think we hit the purpose that we needed for this year. I don't think we hit the purpose of the overall event and the trajectory of where I think it could go
okay.
and needs to go in the future. And so I think in evaluating it, we have to look at it that way of going, we hit some felt needs that we talked through and,
sure.
and needed to go this year. I think next year we really need to come back to the heart of why we're doing this.
Well, and I think it's honest. You really appreciate the honesty of you to share that, you know, that the kind of meta concern for the city is still present in the thing that you're planning, but there is some of this felt need, this pastoral discernment to say that this year, right now, what we need to do is to pastor the ministries that are not being led in the same way they were being led last year, and to kind of make space for them to be led in a way, you know, this year in kind of the place that they are at, the state that they are at, but in a way of servicing them, pastoring them, is to keep offering this thing that's about unity citywide. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, you know, honest, and it's appreciating the honesty of you to share that, you know, hey, this is kind of the big purpose of what we're doing, but we were open enough, flexible enough to see that this year we didn't get to press or push or lean in to all of the things that we really hope that this will be.
Right.
And that's, I think that reflects good kind of like acknowledgement of where you're at in the situation.
Okay, so my next question here is, was the purpose understood by those that served and attended the event?
Well, and this is, I think, one that maybe stings sometimes, because we either do a really good job of speaking it to our students, and then our leaders are just kind of left in the throes of like what's happening because they were, you know, drivers for the event, or they were helping prepare a meal or set up for the next thing. And so I think this is one of the ones is a really good way for us to mark how well we are doing the preparation work. And that's where our leaders can be in the know. I think we don't say enough, share enough, vision cast enough for our leaders like we should. Like, we should be at the point at the end of, or maybe even right before the event happens, that we're sick of talking about what it's about, because we need them to catch it, right? Like, we need to teach it to the students, and we need for our leaders to catch what we were trying to do here. Because if the leaders can see what we're about, what this thing was for, then they can help to, you know, kind of share and move and carry that beyond just our one self, right? Like, mm-hmm. if the leaders are on board and are in the midst of and invested in what the thing was supposed to be about, the purpose, if for them the purpose is a priority, then it will hopefully, in great hope, make it a priority for the students as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's this trickle-down thing, right?
Right, it's right.
It comes from us. We have to share it with our leaders, and then they're going to share it with our students.
Because there are more places than we can be. They're seeing it from more angles than we can be. They're interacting in episodes that we're not even a part of. Yeah.
And honestly, I think when that happens, I think it helps our students also have a good time, if that makes sense, and know what to expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they're walking into this event, especially for some of our older students that have been around the church for a while, right?
Seen it done.
Seen
know
it done.
What's
it,
up.
If they understand, hopefully we've instilled enough spiritual maturity and they're growing in their own relationship with the Lord. When we're able to say, listen, this is an outreach event.
Yeah. You should be inviting your friends.
Right. You should be inviting your friends. And you should also know to expect that. Because sometimes I've had some students come to me and go, you know, I just really didn't feel like, you know, I got as much out of this one as like the last one and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, no offense, but we shared the basic gospel message all weekend long. Like, yeah.
It wasn't for you.
Right. Like, it was
for you to bring your friends.
Right. Like, you get to partner in the gospel with us in this opportunity. And so I don't think if we're not giving some of our students that expectation and that ability to understand what it means to be to use a very Philippians type term, to be partners in the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think we've got to start to continue to lead our students in this place where they start to understand that they're a part of a church and they're not just attenders of the church. And in doing that, then we can begin to create something that they're able to grow into and to engage in a few different ways. The next evaluation that I want to talk to you, Zach, about is this. Was the purpose able to be taught and caught from different platforms or teaching styles.
Oh yeah, so this is where my wife, the educator, would share her language of pedagogy, which is scaffolding.
Well, pedagogy. I pet a goat once.
It was at a zoo. I paid 50 cents. I got a handful of feed. Put my hand out in the feed, and then petted the goat. She would talk about scaffolding. So scaffolding is the idea that like you've got to have multiple levels of entry for students to learn. That like in the same way that you have to think about learning styles of, you know, like some people want to hear it, some people want to see it, some people want to touch it. That the scaffolding of how difficult you appropriate the material, how simple or complex you offer it, needs to be at varying levels. And I think youth ministers should be really good at this because we have to do it on a week-to-week basis. I mean, I can't think of any other place in a young person's life where you're trying, or for a leader of young people to try to teach to a middle school through high school setting, or even a ninth grade through a 12th grade setting, if you're like the high school only minister or whatever it is. But there's a certain kind of like prowess that we should have at being able to take a truth and being able to say it in a complex way that kind of leads to a maturing kind of growth, but also in like a simple enough way or an accessible enough way that even a seventh grader, sixth grader student can kind of apprehend most of what is kind of going on in that moment. And so I think some of those things are taught specifically, to use the language you shared. We do need to teach the thing specifically, but also provide enough environmental learning that it can be caught too. So to use your case study of unity, if the emphasis or the impetus for the weekend is unity, unifying, coming together, you should say that from a platform. You should. It should be on a microphone. Whoever's teaching and leading should be saying that. But also it should be offered in ways that maybe two voices are saying it together, so unity is seen. Or that in the room, maybe there's some kind of like small thing happening with like, you know, a puzzle being put together, or students that were like on either side of the room are being relocated to sit next to somebody else new. And there's an engagement with the idea that's more than just, hey, this is the idea. And so those kind of like ways to act out the engagement of the idea, but also to participate in, but also even in the ways that we think about schedule. Like that's one of the things that I think is, and this is for me where I get really excited and wound up, because I think anytime you have a retreat or an event or a camp or a weekend, you get a chance to tell a story in a whole alternative way. From everything you do in eating or sitting or schedule planning or worship gatherings or service projects, everything gets to help tell the story towards the purpose of what it's about. And if the schedule starts off in a way where you were maybe apart and then things start becoming more and more about being together, that is a caught way of learning that, oh, you're bringing us together in this. I mean, What is more disingenuous for the topic of unity than having one person tell, you know, kind of just a wash of a room, this is how you should be unified? Well, I mean, it's like that's one voice to a large group. That's not actually even representative of the truth that it's about, right?
Sure.
Or if it's a Bible study weekend and like, you know, you have the whole make the games that are study tools for the Bible. Don't just have it be like, well, this game's silly because it's a big messy game or whatever. Right. Like, make studying the scripture the mess, because, man, sometimes it feels like a mess. And maybe that's a little bit too trite to even, you know, kind of say or do. But, like, there is deepening ways to engage with what you're trying to do beyond just putting somebody on a platform and handing them a microphone and be like, dispense us the truth of this purpose.
We're paying you to speak. Get after it.
Get after it.
No.
Kids aren't going to learn it themselves.
No, I think that's good. And so evaluating my own event for this weekend, kind of going, we'll just talk about this year's purpose, since that's kind of the area that we hit on more than the overall general. You know, we wanted to unify them as their specific student ministries and really give them the opportunity to be obedient in going out and living out their faith.
Yes.
Was kind of the big push for us this weekend. And so we walked through the book of Jonah. The guy that we brought in to speak, a guy named Damian Parks, did a phenomenal job in that from the onstage communication. We did some great stuff in our small groups, but evaluating the whole process, like you were talking about, I think that there were probably some ways that we could have done that better. One of the elements that we do on Saturday is a community service project, I think we could have been more intentional in doing some more precise opportunities.
Okay.
To really engage in our overall purpose for that weekend instead of just some broad service projects because we're supposed to do a service project.
Sure,
if that makes
sure.
sense.
Good stuff for good stuff's sake.
Sure. So the next question that we ask is this. Did we meet students where they're at?
And I think this is the thing from your case study that we start with and then talk about in more of a conceptual way. Yeah. Again, thank you for the honesty to share. We had a big purpose for what we were about, you know, kind of a multi-year, you know, hope or right. dream or aspiration. And in the midst of that, we were keen enough and discerning enough to say it needs to be not put on hold, but addressed in a different way this year. Because if we're trying to build up unity across churches, then students that are engaged in a church need to feel connected enough in their home church that they feel like they have a confidence to connect with other youth ministries mm-hmm. as well. And they don't feel like it becomes this, they have a youth pastor, I don't have a youth pastor, I feel disconnected. I mean, right. if it's true that 70% of youth that are connected in church are connected because they have a pastoral figure, then you need to be sensitive about, hey, these folks that are feeling a little leaderless or pastorless need to have a time to kind of be built up in their own kind of setting, in their own community, before they're engaging across the aisle to what right. we're trying to do. It's so good. And I think that we get guilty sometimes of being the youth minister that just does the thing they've always done and try to make it bigger. We talked about it in the first half a little bit of like, if your goal for the event is to make it 20% better than last year, then maybe you're not asking, you know, a big enough or tough enough right. question. And like, well, we had this thing and it was this big and it was this much stuff. And like this year, 20%, 20% more resources, 20% more leaders, 20% more students, 20% more fun.
Right.
And I think that kind of growth isn't the same kind as the discerning pastor voice to be like, you know what? We did a big fun thing last year, but our students have kind of matured.
Right.
And they kind of are ready for something a little more. It may not have to be painted with such a big, broad stroke of fun, laser tag, ultimate basketball, whatever. They may actually just be hungry for some more quiet time. That this last year has been kind of heavy, and mm-hmm. we need to have some time to reflect on that. Or the opposite might be true. It might be that, man, the year before, like you were, you know, you had this group and you kind of brought them together and it was almost like a leadership retreat, but they've been awesome and they've been bringing folks and growing the ministry and people have been, you know, added to the number daily and all those things that could be true are true. And they need to kind of celebrate that and they need to kind of see what celebration of all their hard work looks like. And that's yeah. okay too.
No, I think that's really good. To me, when I ask this question, you know, of did we meet the students where we're at, we've got to have a good pulse of our ministry, yeah. right? We've got to know where our students are at, where they need to be engaged with, and what those felt needs are, right? I mean, if we're trying to have an outreach event and our students are not at a place where they're able to actually articulate or even have the courage to step up in their own faith and to begin to engage with peers in their schools, to bring them to something like this, or even to share their own story.
Yeah.
Then maybe we need to like throw on the brakes a little bit and go, let's take this one step at a time, or also be able to evaluate correctly. I remember early in student ministry, and for whatever reason, we come back to this idea of numbers. We count people that, you know, are in the chairs, but then also, and this is maybe a Baptist type thing, we also kind of almost count these like life change moments too, yeah. right? Like how many, you know, did we have kids receive Christ this weekend? Did we
commit their faith or recommit yeah, their faith?
Right.
Or...
all those kind of things. And I can remember the first few years when I was with a student ministry, we saw a large numbers of students come to know Christ at camps and things like that. And it was like, man, this is an awesome win. And then we started the numerical of saw that number start to decline.
And we felt like our event was in decline.
Yeah. And at first I was like, oh, what is happening? Yeah. We used to. And but then
we're losing it, man. We're losing it.
But then I started realizing, like, if I'm just looking at numbers on a sheet of paper, the climate of my student ministry has changed.
That's right.
Like if I'm expecting the same number of students to start coming to know the Lord, but I'm not growing from outside students at that same rate,
yeah,
then I'm expecting like kids that have already surrendered their life to the Lord to like redo it or something.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And now I'm evaluating it incorrectly. But because in all reality, once we've got to this point and we're continuing this like discipleship growth process, we have to start asking this question, where are students at? And tooling our events to answer those kind of questions.
That's good. That's a good word, because I think we are guilty sometimes of either having a pre-planned agenda we're just going to overlay on the thing that we're doing, or we make it our own agenda and we're not sensitive enough, discerning enough to what our students are. I mean, this is why if there is value in doing these event kind of things, weekends, days, camps, whatever, and not just going to the large conference or going to the big rally or the Winter Jam, Rock Fest, whatever it is, the reason is because you can be a discerning pastoral voice to your students. Mm-hmm. If you're just doing this stuff at face value or just because, or because it seems like it's the right thing to do, and aren't doing it with a discerning, listening spirit, then you are missing out on the true value of what you're trying to do.
Right. So our last question is this one.
And it's a good one.
Should we do this again?
I know I ask that every Friday after we record. Should we do this again? And I think it's a fair question. And this is not that you shouldn't do things only once, or you should do things only for 1 year. But I think when you ask that question of should we do this again, you're also asking inside of that question, should we do it this way again? I think there's always value to have moments, seasonal, quarterly moments, annual times that we gather, we focus, we listen, we try to attune ourselves to what God is doing in our lives and is doing in our communities. We listen to our brothers and sisters as they're struggling, as they're growing. I think those are always valuable. But the thing that we did, the way it was planned, the format it was, the price tag on it, should we do that again?
Mm-hmm.
Should we do that again? And I think if we even pause a little bit, we should allow ourselves to pause a little longer and think, well, how? And I think that's why it's so great to do them on a kind of seasonal or annual quarterly kind of basis, is we have space between them to see what the next thing ought to be. Weekly gatherings, Sundays, midweeks, whatever you do as a youth ministry are vital, are important. They are the pulse that checks week in and week out for these kind of things. But these high water marks, these milestone markers are really important for moving, for propelling, for listening, and for growing a ministry of students where they're at to where they could be. And having a vision for that and having a discernment for that is really the ways in which you can become the invaluable pastoral figure that guides them to a flourishing relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely, man. I think these are great questions for us to ask. I hope you continue to add questions to this list for your specific purpose, for your specific need. But more than all, we hope you're asking questions. We hope you're diving into the deeper things of ministry and why we're doing them. And we're asking questions, why and how do we make this better? Not so that we may be glorified, but ultimately that Christ may be glorified in the ministry that he's entrusted us to partake in. And so we need to be asking these questions because we need to continue to ask, how are we faithful? And so, hey, thank you guys for listening this week to After Nine. My name is Chad. This is, and there's keychains in the back.
Thanks for listening to After Nine. Join the community and continue the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or visit afternineministry.com.